Something that I know that you do a lot of work with, like me, is helping people to take action and to take action towards the things that are really important to them. In your work with clients, what are the things that you have been noticing consistently coming up with the clients who are successful in getting towards their goals and the clients who are consistent in not working towards their goals?
Okay, a number of things. Good question. First of all, some people aren't setting their goals in the first place. And so those that are achieving goals are generally those who are goal setters and who are setting out to achieve things. Secondly, when a lot of people set goals, they set the goal in terms of thinking of what they want, but they don't decide to have it. So there's two decisions. The first decision, which some people have a lot of problem with, is what you want. And that's fine. Once you've decided that you want something, you then still have to make another decision to go for it. Consistently, though, the biggest issue is getting yourself to take action towards it. Now, anytime you set a goal, up are going to come your unconscious blocks. In fact, that's one of the three great ways to discover what your unconscious blocking beliefs are. Set yourself a new big goal, and up will come all your internal blocks and beliefs such as, you know, you can't do that, you're not smart enough, whatever. And I think that's the purpose behind us setting the goal, that's actually our part of us being healed, is that it brings those things up. Now, sometimes those blocks and those beliefs become barriers that prevent people from moving forward. And I love to use tools like tapping to help people to get over those blocks. Now, sometimes it's kind of, as well, people have a kind of yes, no. Part of them wants to, but part of them doesn't, you know. They want to go and make a difference in the world, and they also want to sit down and watch television, you know. So we have these competing parts, and this is really a values issue. And the core of my work is really helping people to get clear on their values and to iron out those sort of conflicts so that they can move forward. And, you know, as you know, I have this concept of 100% yes, which is when you can go for what's really important without being blocked by fear or false associations or internal conflicts.
So I want to, there's a lot there. I want to kind of peel that apart a little bit. The first thing that you said in that chunk that I think I've certainly seen really consistently in my work, and one of the reasons why I also love working with goals, is this idea of setting goals gives us the opportunity to, you know, really present the things that are the blocks, that are the issues that are there. And I really love working with goals in that capacity because it gives us this really short feedback loop. You know, if I'm going to go tap on a bunch of traumas from my childhood, that's great and that's useful, but I can't tell if I'm actually tapping on the things that are most useful that are impacting me today. But by naming a goal or naming actions that I want to take and then tapping on the issues that come bubbling up, I then get feedback. Am I now taking the action or am I not taking the action? And I can see if I have done an efficient job of healing all that needs to be healed because I can see the results of trying to clear the block. I'm taking the action or I'm not.
Exactly. Yeah, your results will tell you.
Yeah.
Well, how you're going in terms of healing your beliefs. But it's also about how you want to live your life. Mm-hmm. And I've done this at times with tapping. You know, we get into what I call remedial work. And we need to do this remedial work, which is clearing out the blocks and finding all of our fears and phobias and stresses and, you know, beliefs and so on and clearing them out. However, if that's all you do, it seems endless.
Right.
You know, we seem to be so full of so much stuff. And the other thing is, what's your life about anyway? Where do you want to go? So with everybody who I coach or do therapy with, at some point I'm going to say to them, well, all right, you know, if we get over this, if we fix this problem, where do you want to go? And where do you want to go ultimately? Because I love to talk with people about their ultimate goals. And often that's when things go a little bit quiet and people tend to speak in a muffled way and they mm-hmm. cover their mouth. And because it's a challenge to think of our ultimate goals. We've especially if you've grown up And now you've learnt what you can't do and why everything is not possible and all this kind of BS it is. It's belief systems, you know, and we're full of it, unfortunately. But yeah, that focus on where you want to go becomes a positive, productive focus, and it's a positive, creative use of tapping, as opposed to just using it in a remedial way, which is what I think 95% of people are doing.
Yeah, I use the vocabulary of tapping to take action or tapping for first aid instead of remedial. And like you identified, both of those have their place. You know, when I'm feeling really overwhelmed in this moment, or I'm feeling really sad in this moment, or I'm feeling really heartbroken in this moment, doing first aid tapping is the absolute perfect way to be reaching for the tool set. But when we have a really clear sense of what we're trying to achieve with the tapping, then that's going to direct us in the way that we apply it. Is it in this remedial first aid approach, or is it in clearing something else that moves us forward?
Well, yeah, and if you're doing that remedial first aid work, then you have an opening, and
Absolutely. You
start to get into flow, and you start to see that your life can be better. That's the time to then say, okay, now where do I want to go? Mm-hmm. You know, I always say to my clients, if you're in the quicksand, the first goal you're going to set is to get on solid ground,
right?
And you do what you need to do to get on solid ground, but once you're there, then you can go, okay, how do I get out of this forest? Then you see a high point. You go, okay, well, if I go up there, then I can see further, and then I might be able to work out, you know, da-da-da, the lay of the land, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so the goals that you set depend on where you are. And, you know, I've just been doing a course on helping people to overcome public speaking anxiety and speak with confidence. And I know, you know, there's one particular lady in that. You know, at the very beginning, she was like, oh, you know, it's ridiculous to think that I could do these things. Now she's seriously considering them.
Right.
And she's not only seriously considering them, she's taken action. She's got out and done some small things, speaking in front of, you know, some groups with a hobby that she has. She's taken the lead. You know, she's going to be doing a speech at a social event, etc. And, you know, it reminds me of a CEO that I worked with. And, you know, here's a guy who's in a position where he has to present all the time. And because his international company was having to do presentations in front of the big boys and girls, and that really threatened him. So we did a lot of remedial work on that, a lot of work on his and there's two levels there too. There's first aid, where you do it on your upsets and so on, but there's also preventative, where mm-hmm. you have things coming up and you prepare for them, and then you can test whether you've made some changes, which is what something like public speaking is ideal for.
Right.
But then after we cleared a bunch of that stuff, I'm like, okay, well, what would you really like? Well, he's like, well, you know, what I'd really like to do is to present, you know, with confidence and use a bit of humor and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, that's great. How many times have you practiced that? Right. How many times have you done that? Never. I mean, in his mind, he's practiced doom and gloom and failure multiple times. And he's certainly experienced it in his past, you know. So we did a bit of work on the roots of where he learned that these situations could be a threat. And that's all that kind of first aid remedial work, which opens up the possibility to now consider where you want to go. And I think that's, you know, if you want to have a complete healing, often that's really what you want to consider, because we are here to move forward. You know, we're goal-seeking organisms. We work best when we have something to look forward to and live for. You know, even if you look at the classic stuff, and Viktor Frankl, the psychiatrist who had spent time in the death camps, you know, he found out firsthand that those that had a reason to live for, that could see, you know, something in the future, tended to do better than those who didn't.
And so as we get to the place and we see that power of that goal and seeing the place of something that is possible that we could move to, you at the beginning, you were talking about this idea of being yes, no about a goal like that. And I certainly know what that's like. In one moment, I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I want. And in the next moment, I'm like, this is impossible. And there is no way for someone like me that I can do this. Maybe for others, but not for me. What is going on when that happens, and how do we respond to that?
Okay, well, what's happening is the minute that you set a goal, up are coming up your unconscious blocks and your unconscious BS, all your belief systems that you've inherited or picked up along the way about that and about possibility, what you're capable of, what you're not capable of, and so on. And ultimately, it's that work on those beliefs that's going to be some of the most productive work. Now, there's a certain category of belief that I like to work with, which is called values. And your values are beliefs. They're beliefs about what's most important. And at their core, your values are your beliefs about what's most important to feel and experience. Because, see, when you set a goal, that's what you want. Underneath that is how you think that's gonna make you feel. You know, I worked with, for example, the state touch rugby teams for my state. And I worked with these guys, and I asked, you know, I said, okay, someone tell me one of your goals. And this big guy, he says, I want an 1100cc motorbike. I'm like, well, okay, if you have that motorbike, what's it going to give you? He says, power. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a guy who wants to feel like a powerful person. And so he's associated that when he has that motorbike, all right, not only will that have a powerful engine, but he's going to be a powerful person. He's going to feel like a more powerful person. Now, the truth is the feeling of power, apart from, you know, the powerful engine, is not in that motorbike. He could get the motorbike and still feel like a, you know, mm-hmm. a weakling. It's inside him. And, you know, sometimes we're on track and we choose things that are congruent with our true underlying values. And we get that and we feel those feelings. Other times we do the thing of, you know, the cliche, we climb the ladder of success and then we find at the end of it that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall, you know?
Right. And so in that sense of value, so looking at it two ways, one in looking at, you know, maybe not having the thing that is giving us the value, or the other is struggling with part of ourself being able to reconcile or be comfortable inside of that value. How do we, in a concrete way, so intellectually I understand this, in a concrete way, how do I start peeling that apart to see what those pieces are, to see what I should be going after with my tapping to get that clear?
All right. Well, the simplest level is that when you set a goal and up comes an objection, then you can do some tapping on that. That's the simplest mm-hmm. level. Now, if that unconscious or that uncomfortable feeling, that part of you that says no and part of you says yes, is really an underlying conflict in your values, then you need to do some tapping on those. And see, values are just like any belief. We learned them. You didn't sit there and design, okay, I'm going to design my values. I'm going to be attracted towards power, you know. For whatever reason, often, for example, because we've gone through experiences where we felt powerless, then we idolize the idea of being powerful. And it's like, if I'm powerful and I have all these powerful things, then I'll never get threatened like that again, or I'll always be safe, or whatever it is. And so we can associate to those strong feelings, and we develop beliefs that is, you know, those feelings are like oxygen to us. And the challenge is that sometimes what we think are our values are really just some things that have been hotwired into our nervous system by negative experiences. So let me give you an example. A positive value of mine has been love for quite some years. But when I looked at where I learned that love was important, I realized that a lot of those experiences were negative, where I didn't feel loved, particularly by my father, who was a workaholic and was absent and, you know, never told me he loved me and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of time I spent feeling unloved, and I became desperate for that feeling, if that makes sense, which meant that even though love was one of my highest values, I was pretty needy. And, you know, I was constantly needing reassurance that I was loved, and I was constantly seeking that reassurance and so on. And my poor little family that I have now, you know, where they couldn't leave the house without saying goodbye and stuff like that, you know.
So from the outside, as you tell that story, it's very easy for me to connect those dots, that I can see this was the experience that created the value that is playing out itself in an unhealthy way until we're able to do some work on that. So after the fact, that's easy to see. In the middle of that, how do you identify that? How are you able to figure out that this is the place that this value is playing out in a way that isn't to its highest ideal or in its healthiest way? Like, how did you come to that conclusion?
Okay, well, first of all, you want to work out what your values are, because goal setting has no meaning without values clarification. Mm-hmm. Currently, you have, you know, an underlying hierarchy of values, if you like. There are certain things that you are unconsciously driven to want to get. So I was driven to get the feelings of love. It was one reason why I married the wife, the woman I did, you know. I say I didn't just marry her, I married her family, because they're all, you know, very warm and loving and no issues that were there in my family of origin. So the before you set any goals, I think the first thing you have to do is to ask the values question. And the values question is, what's most important to me? Mm-hmm. What's most important to me in my life? And you keep asking that question until you come up with all of the answers. You know, what else is most important to me? What else is most important to me? And then underneath everything that you think you want, you have to get to the core emotional states that you're after. So, for example, if you'd asked me what was most important to me in my life, one of the things I would come up with would be family. All right, well, family is actually not the underlying value. It's what I connect to the value. Underlying my value of family is that there should be love and, you know, and fun and connection. And so everything that's not an underlying emotional state, you keep digging further until you work out, okay, what do I think that's going to give me, which is what you really want. Because if you say family is your important goal, what you really want is love, and you're not getting enough love from your family, you take your family to therapy and you say, this family needs fixing.
And so what it sounds like is, as we just keep drilling down, is what do I value? Family. And then you ask the question, why do I value that? Because I get this.
What's that?
Why? And just keep asking that question recursively over and over and over again until we just keep drilling down deeper and deeper and deeper.
Well, until you get the ultimate ends that you're after, because some things are means to an end. For example, a lot of people want money, but they don't all want the same thing. See, Richard Branson wants money because he wants to fund his next adventure. You know, he wants fun and challenge and adventure. And so he doesn't care about the money. He cares about those emotions. And so that's what he's after is adventure and fun. Someone else wants money because they want security. Mm-hmm. They don't want the money. What they want to do is to feel secure. And they link up that if they have that money, they're going to get that feeling. Ultimately, we're all largely feeling-driven beings. And we're driven to achieve certain states. So someone else wants money because they want freedom. Now, the person who wants freedom and the person who wants security, they're very different people. They're driven by very different things, and they're going to do very different things when they get the money. And ultimately, you can succeed with either of them. Mm-hmm. As long as you know that what you're doing is really going to give you what you really want. Because if you're driven to achieve security and you're driven to get money to make yourself feel secure, but you don't deal with your internal insecurity, then you can have a lot of money, but now you're worried about losing it because internal stuff hasn't been healed.
And the other thing that I like about that approach is in that process, so I start with money, and the reason I want money is security. Once I get down to the level of security, all of a sudden I can recognize that I can find security multiple ways, and it doesn't have to be the goal I initially stated. You know,
my
original value is family. Well, in reality, what I'm truly valuing is connecting loving relationships. And once I realize that what I truly value is connecting loving relationships, it might look like a very traditional family, or it might look like a found family, where I'm cobbling together relationships in a different way that's still meeting those needs, where I'm connecting with people. And by finding what the underlying value is, all of a sudden, it opens up the playing field for multiple ways of being able to articulate that, which oftentimes makes it easier for us to have that because we've moved away from one specific goal that we have set in our mind.
Yeah, and ultimately, what is success anyway? Success is living your values.
Right.
Because if what's most important to you isn't what you make most important, that's why you're miserable. That's why you're upset. Now, there's another level here because the values that are driving you currently, as I said, you didn't necessarily install them. Mm-hmm. So love was important to me. Yes, I did have some experiences of feeling loving, but it was so important like oxygen for me because of the fact that I had so many experiences of lack. Now, when you do your work on those values as beliefs and you apply techniques like tapping to help you to heal those feelings where you didn't experience that and the negative experiences that have driven those values in to make them, if you like, to take a positive value and have it have a kind of needy or a potentially toxic effect on you. When you settle that down, that value, for example, it may change in its hierarchy. So someone, for example, has security as their number one because they're coming from insecurity. Well, when they calm down their insecurity feeling, that can settle down and now they're free to take more risks because it's not life and death anymore. In my case, values, love continued to be my number one value. But what happened was that I started, when I did my tapping work on my experiences with my father, not only did I start to reprogram some of those memories and realize that he did love me and feel that and feel better about him and understand in the context of his life how good it was what he did for us anyway, because his dad left when he was 10 years old and his mother used to beat him, he was on the streets, you know, all kinds of things. And all that came into context for me by doing the work on that. But what also happened was that I became less needy and I had the experience of feeling loved by my family at a level of depth that I never had felt it before.
Right. And I can see as we continue to do this work in this particular way, to go back to that original place that we started around taking action and achieving our goals, I can see by doing this deeper work, I can see a couple of very specific consequences. The first is we're going to start to transform our goals because we're getting a better, healthier sense of what our values are, which means it's going to be easier for us to articulate how we have them in tangible ways. So those goals are going to transform in front of us. The other thing that I can see happening is all of a sudden, we're going to be more effortlessly and more inspiredly, if inspiredly is a word, taking action because those barriers, those needs, those scares, that state of being, like you talked about, being yes, no about something is melting away. And we're finding our way to more and more yes. So it's not like I have to plan to take this action, but it becomes my natural action and my natural outcome because it's driving me towards my values. So, of course, this is the action I'm going to take.
Exactly. And you're not having to work against yourself,
right?
Your own internal barriers that were installed at a previous time before you were old enough to realize that, hey, that's not quite correct, you know? You know that what you're doing is right for you. It feels right, and you're not fighting yourself to do it. That's my concept of 100% mm-hmm. yes. You can go for your goals 100% without being blocked. And the ultimate concept I have for that, it's like when you're a little kid and then your parents or someone says, you know, we're going to your favorite playground, or we're going, you know, in my case, we're going to the beach, you know, when I was a kid. It's like, oh, yes. It's every part of your being is screaming yes to this rather than saying, are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and so it feels like almost, so the process almost feels like we start with the goals, we try and figure out what the underlying value is, we keep exploring that till we land the place where we actually find our way to the underlying value. we figure out the places where we have a healthy relationship to that value and the places that we have an unhealthy relationship to that value. As we clean that up, it helps us to get clarity about those goals again, which move us to a place to consistently taking action because we're not in our way anymore.
Exactly. Because sometimes when you set your goals, the reason why you're fighting yourself is because part of you realizes this is not right.
Right.
This is not really right for you. And, you know, you're following someone else's goals, yep, or you're on someone else's track, or you know, this is what you think you should do. But ultimately, a higher part of you knows that that isn't ultimately for you. So yeah, you set your goals in the first place and you start going for them. You do some tapping on all of the objections. You ask yourself, what's really most important to me? You iron out any of those conflicts and deal with those negative past events that are driving that stuff. And now you set yourself new goals. I still remember lying in bed with my family on my 42nd birthday after having done this work of tapping on my conflicted experiences of not feeling loved, and just having them all around me and giving me gifts. And then, you know, my little son, Callum, who has Down syndrome, he's now 16, was jumping on me saying, I love my daddy. I love my daddy. And they're all there. My little daughter's saying, you know, we've got to get dad breakfast in bed. And my eldest son has stayed up the night before doing this beautiful little, sayings on the computer to put in this book that they gave me. And I felt the love that they had for me in a pure way that I hadn't felt it mm-hmm. ever before. And I had this sudden realization, I don't have to be an intergalactic megastar.
Right.
I have everything I want right here.
And it was interesting, as you're talking about that sense of when it's not in the healthy place like you just described there, but it's in a place where we might be working towards a goal or a value that isn't right for us, and that's the reason why we have conflict with it. I, for whatever reason, I was taken back to this moment when I was a high school student and I asked someone out on a date, not because it was someone I wanted to go on a date with, but in my mind, I had done the calculation of where I was in the high school social stratosphere and where she was in the social stratosphere. And so this was the person that I was supposed to ask out on. And I can even remember hanging up. She said no. Good thing for both of us. And I can remember hanging up the phone after the fact going, oh my gosh, this isn't something I wanted. This was just something because this is what the structure said was supposed to be my goal.
Exactly.
And we get the opportunity to start peeling it back and looking at what our value is and why we're doing something. Every goal statement that I have written in the last 5 years has had the phrase because followed by the reason why I wanted the goal.
Exactly, because the underlying reason is what's driving it in the first place. And if there isn't a strong enough underlying yes, if that feel of that isn't going to be something you really, really want, you're not going to go there anyway.
Yeah, you're never going to take the action because it's, you know, intellectually I can say this is the right thing for me to do. You know, I should be eating my vegetables every single night. But if there's not a compelling reason for me doing that, other than the fact I know it's what I'm supposed to be doing, it's, you know, I don't have enough willpower in my day to simply do it because I'm supposed to do it. It has to be something I'm in line with. Because for me, you know, I've always thought of with the why statement on my goals has always been the energy and the motivation to take action. It's not the goal itself. And when I'm there, it makes it easy.
Yeah. And see, that programming, whatever, that says that you don't currently feel like eating your vegetables, based on your current values, eating them is going to be against right. those values. But that may have been installed. You may have had some negative experiences where you were forced to eat them
right.
or whatever.
Absolutely. I don't want to have to do something. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. So if you do some tapping on where you learned that vegetables are like that, you can work out whether now – you in a clear space, you can go forward and have them or not have them.
Right.
But you don't have to have them and you don't have to not have them.
Yep. Perfect. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I love that point of view. Thanks for your time, Steve. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Really enjoy it every time we chat. Thanks.